Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Marcia Cappuccino. Welcome to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Wow, it's crazy out here in LA. So much is going on. People are running and racing all up and down the street. But, oh, you know what? I'm concerned about what kind of life they should be living that we should be living. Where are all of the organizations that are claiming to get a handle on peace? And now the chaos that we hear people talking about, walking in, dreaming about. Someone is saying, right now, you know what, I had a bad dream. I don't know what that dream meant, but I'm scared. Well, hey, chaotic mind, chaotic mind, chaotic world. But does anyone really want to see peace? There's violence on every hand. Family breakdown is just continuing to spiral. Children are sacrificed like water to thirsty demon gods and, oh, my God, other problems similar. But, you know, there's an answer. To every problem, you know, there's an answer. To every situation that you don't know how to get out of, there's a missing link somewhere. To every situation that you wonder, well, oh, how did I get involved in this? How am I going to get out of it? Who's going to help me out of it? There's someone standing in the wings. And that's why today on the Dr. Cappuccino Show, we're going to, hey, we're getting right back into what kind of life should all be living. This is part three. I don't even know if we're going to be able to stop because so many people are texting and calling and they're talking about, why are you saying this and why are you saying that? You guys are scaring everyone. You got to be scared. And the main scare up we have back with us today is our own illustrious Colonel Dr. William Harrison. He's been on our show for the last month. And you guys don't seem to want to let him go, but he's always looking to give some good advice. And I think you guys feel that in your spirit. You feel it in your heart. Dr. Harrison, Colonel Harrison, are you with us on the line again today?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino and listening audience. I'm with you again today, and thanks for inviting me again over the past month. And hopefully I can share some perspectives that will help your listening audience.
Well, I know you can, and I think they do too, because they keep calling and wondering, well, is he going to be back on the show? Doctor, you're going to ask him all those questions again. How does he know how to answer all those questions? Well, he is. Dr. William Harrison, thank you so much, sir. Well, here we go again. You know, we've been knocking it out on both sides of the fence, this thing called life. And many people are walking about to and fro, and, you know, they're not sure if they're living right. You know, they're not sure if they want to live right. You know, they're not sure what is right. So they're tuning in to hear any shred of information that you and I can give them, and that perhaps the listening audience can be blessed by. Now, as you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been on the same topic. What kinds of lives should all be living? And when you speak in terms of a person's life, you know, they tend to say, you know, it's my life, you know, it's a private life, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, most people are saying now that you really can't do what you want to do and have any peace or be successful or just really stay alive. Some people are killed, shot, just walking down the street. So that's not really the answer. But when you start asking the question, what kind of life should all be living? Dr. Harrison, what really should come to mind? People alive, they're looking to see, they have to be.
Thank you, Dr. Cappuccino. So what kind of life should people be living? That's an excellent question. Doc, I believe people should be living a fearless life because we're living during fearless days and time, and where so much is happening and so much is going on, as you mentioned at the opening of the show. Life, as we know it, Doc, an average 70, 80, very few live beyond 80 years of age. I think we should be living now a fierce life, should be living a cherished life, a loving life, a caring life, a respectful life of one another. One of the things that I've noticed has happened, there seems to be a trend in society where they're calling good evil and evil good. That automatically affects the quality of life that that one can expect to live, because we're not living a life that's a value, a life that is true. We're living a life that's based on a false pretense, and so we have to be careful how we live our lives, and the quality of life depends upon not only how we live our lives, how we treat our neighbor, our relatives, and our children, so forth, husband, wife, so forth, so on. It also depends upon how we take care of our bodies. So we have a health problem. We have a chaotic society problem, and we have a problem wherein people are not really respecting each other. Therefore, their quality of life has diminished, and their life expectancy is also reduced because of stress associated with living a stressful life. It leads to medical conditions. So I'll pause on that note, Doc.
Well, you know what? That's very true. But you have people that are saying, you know, I take care of my body. I try to live right, you know, and living right, you know, that's the topic here. So, you know, who can say what that means? And they say that, you know, I'm getting to bed at night, you know, I'm not running the street. I don't have multiple men. I don't have multiple women. But I'm still not feeling right about my life. Something is missing. I don't know what it is. I can't seem to put my hands on it. I can't seem to put my heart on it. What can you say to a person that says something like that? Everything is going right in their life, but for some reason they say, you know, I don't feel life is worth living. I think something is missing. What can you say from the millionaire to the beggar on the street? There are some are saying the same story. What's the answer for that?
The answer for that, Doc, is what many don't want to accept and many reject. The answer to and for that is there is a superior being or a supreme being. The being I know, I call God. That's who I believe in. Man, woman, and child are three-dimensional beings. We're spirit, body, and soul. And we're more spirit than we are body, which is flesh, and the spirit is within the soul. So we are three-dimensional beings, and we are attracted to that which we are part of. And that which most reject is the superior spirit being that some call God, some call Allah, some call Jehovah, some call other names. So the void is, if I reject that which I need, or I reject that which I'm a part of, and I reject that which I'm not aware of, there's going to always be a void. Money is not going to fill that void. A husband and wife can't fill that void. Children can't fill that void. Material assets can't fill that void. It's a natural spiritual phenomenon of man and God and woman and child that has come about from the creation of the world. And so many today reject that. But they can't. They don't have no basis of ground upon which to build their objections, other than the fact they don't believe. If they don't believe, that's up to them. Those that do believe are living a better quality of life, because not only I preach, I experience it in law enforcement. People that believe in faith, that believe in a supreme being or superior being, tends to live a better quality of life and less stressful life, and a more wholesome life. I'll pause again, Doc.
Well, you know, some of our listeners have said, hey, every time you guys get on there and you start talking about how to live and why we should even be living, Reverend Dr. Colonel Harrison goes on to the religious faith end. Is there any other way you can live without saying you worship Allah or you worship Jehovah or you want to be a good Christian under the banner of Jesus Christ? Some have said we always take it on the religious end, and I said, well, you know what? Hop back on the show and call in and ask Dr. Harrison about that. What can you say, Doc? You know, you're taking it on a religious end week by week by week. What can you say? Is God the one that you talk about? Is he the only answer to peace?
Yes, Doc, it's interesting, and I know you're welcome to callers, and I hope they call in, email, whatever. But let me say this. This nation called America was built upon religious principles, Judeo-Christian beliefs, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, Ben Franklin, all of those were men who believed in a superior being. Not trying to force this down anyone's throat. Everyone has to seek their own destiny. But as for me in my house, I found the answer. I found the answer, and that answer works for me better than it did when I was not actively engaged, not actively involved, not actively believing. Now for those who are struggling with it, I recommend the prayer tents. Prayer tents will be popping up under the International Platform for Peace in cities near some of your listening audience. People pray for you. They'll help minister to you, to nurture to you. Prayer does uplift one's countenance, uplift one's feeling, uplifts one's emotion, and it does help to stabilize you. So prayer can be offered to even a non-believer, atheist, agnostic. Prayer from the 10 major religions, everyone believe in prayer. That just most of them believe in different gods. That's the only difference. But prayer, I recommend the prayer tents for those who are struggling and need some type of consolation. I'll pause again.
Okay, well, we're not talking about praying. We're not talking about prayer. It appears that you are saying one must pray in order to live a good life.
I highly recommend it, Doc. There has to be some intangible substance, just like the air that we breathe. We can't see it, but we need it. So prayer offered up, even though it's verbalized.
I'm going to jump in there, Doc. Now, we're talking about the life a person is supposed to be living. So it appears that you've gone on to say that they are not going to be able to live a life of worth, purpose, unless they're praying, because our topic is what kind of life should you be living. So you're saying that they should be, are you saying that people should be living a life of prayer, because there's so many other elements and attributes and reasons for living, but it appears that you're saying that a person should be living a life of prayer. Is that what you are saying?
Okay, let me say this, Doc. Let me qualify it. I believe in order to live the fullness of life, one has to have a belief in a supreme or superior being. And I believe to balance that life, one needs to have some type of prayer which gives them consolation. Now people can live.
Yes.
They can exist, but they may not necessarily have a good quality of life. They can have wealth, but they can have all of that and still not be self-fulfilled, because there's a void and there's something missing in their life. And the thing that's missing in life is that which they reject in most instances.
Okay, well, I'm not saying anyone out there is rejecting anything. There's nothing to reject, because right now what we're talking about is what kind of life should someone be living. There should be something like bullet points. Well, number one, yeah, yeah, yeah. Number two, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but if you talk to the average person on the street about what kind of life should they be living, they're not going to go straight to prayer. Well, you ought to pray, because if you tell them that, then they're going to want to say, well, what God should I be praying to? And then we're going to take the whole scope of the program off its feet. What kind of life should people be living? Well, number one, I would say they might want to not practice killing each other. And number two, they might want to start eating the right food. We're trying to give a practical basis for the listeners to have something they can chew on, rather than go, boom, we're going straight to prayer. Some people don't pray. They've taken prayer out of school. The world doesn't really believe in prayer, because they want to stamp prayer out in every sector. No prayer at graduation, no prayer at your proms, no prayer here, no. So obviously, in listening and hearing from you, there's a serious disconnect here. You're telling people that they can have a better life by praying, and then the government is and has stamped out prayer. We got a problem here. So I think before we get to saying, okay, well, you need to start praying. Okay, I think everyone knows if they need help, you know, if they are going through surgery, they're going to have a problem, they might need to pray. But we want to give the listeners at least four or five sections that they can put into practice right here and now. Okay, we're going to keep prayer out there, but, Doc, are there any other things that people should be doing if they feel their life is not fulfilling, if they feel something is missing? Prayer is good. The Bible says all should pray and not faint. Okay, but what are some of the other practical day-by-day things that a person can be doing? What kind of life should they be living? They should be living a life of this. They should be living a life of that. Give us some bullet points on what kind of life people should be living since we're in the 21st century, 2018, and it is very chaotic. Some are scared to look out the window. Some are scared to walk down the street. What kind of life should they be living?
Okay, Doc, let me start with Abraham Maslow, former sociologist and psychologist, said the most basic human need is water and food. After that, then shelter. After shelter, then companionship. I believe, thinking about that, I believe today there's not a lot of love. Step one, I think people should be living a life of love. That's step one. Step two, a life of compassion. Step three, a life of understanding. Step three, a life of helping their fellow brother, man, and sister. Those kinds of principles tie in with the most basic needs, and because human beings are creatures that need one another, interact with one another in order to feel important, in order to feel their self-worth. So the probably the dominant element that's missing in life today is love. And I think we need love for one another, need compassion for one another. We need understanding for one another, and we also need to help one another because we are our brother's keeper. And if we do that, that will be self-fulfilling in and of itself. And we'll live a better quality of life because we'll feel better about ourselves because we're helping our fellow man and sister and child who can't help themselves.
Oh, my God, that's scary. But I go along with you 100% because, you know, when a person has love in their life, they don't want to kill. When a person is loving one another, they don't want to hurt that person. When a person is in love, oh, my God, the whole universe looks great when they're in love with someone. And, of course, when they're in love with themselves, they want to practice loving things. But we don't see the elementals of love being taught in the corporate world. You know, they say, oh, it's doggy dog there. You know, you got to get ahead by crushing people's skulls. You don't see it on the schoolyards. You don't see a lot of love in the homes. That's why some homes are broken. Children just, ready to explode. You don't see love being even talked about. Unless it's in a church setup, and most of the churches are closing down because they weren't those congregants they have to love one another. Jesus said, by this you will know my disciples love myself. Now, I'm just going there because I'm thinking about last broadcast where we were on this same topic, and we were talking about what's happening in the faith-based communities. Which it is that community that should be talking and teaching love. The corporate structure is not going to teach it. They don't even want the Ten Commandments structured there on premise. So we're right back to this situation here of love, 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 that people will know who you are by loving each other. How can people learn to love one another if the very base that is supposed to be teaching that is almost now non-existent? How can a person get love, learn how to love, and, of course, learn how to accept love and within their own selves?
Doc, they can learn how to love by interacting and socializing in fellowship with one who possesses love, one who shows love, one who gives love. Then they'll learn how to love themselves. Love can be learned by example from someone that I just mentioned that is given love, and love is the core element that tends to keep a civil society together. L-O-V-E, the most powerful four-letter word in the dictionary, if not in the universe. And so we have moved away from love, and so as we move away from love, the opposite of love you see is all these other fallout things that we see, the chaos and the uncertainty and the fear and the depression and hopelessness and all those kinds of things. But if we band together, love one another without regards to race, color, creed, national origin, sexual preference, and so forth, this will be a better country, and this country can set the example for the world becoming more loving. Because right now, hate is prevailing over love, and love should be prevailing over hate as it once did.
Wow, my goodness. You know what? You are just really right on target there. Now, I was thinking in terms of a young man called Aji Ali, and he's an ex-cop. And he has a film, a movie out now that is called Walking in Love. Walking in Black, Walking in Love. And he's a former cop, and, you know, he's going all over the country talking about, you know, the reason why so much chaos in the world, because, you know, there's no love. But then he's looking at it from a cop's perspective, you know, maybe pulling guns on people and maybe shooting people, you know, and unarmed. You know, I'm not really up on that. But he said almost the same thing as what you are saying, that this element called love has got to be in the heart of the killer. Love has got to be in the heart of the saint. Love has got to be in the heart of family members. But again, there's no school of love. There's no university of love. Come on over here, you know, sign up and enroll, and you're going to have Love 101, Love 112, you know, 118, you know, similar to a college-like structure. That is not being done. So if we're telling our listening audience that they've got to have love, and they've got to have love in their heart, and they've got to walk upright with love in their very being as being what kind of life they should be living, how do they learn to love? Who's going to teach each one themselves how to love one another? And I just gave a clue there, but love one another. All the chaos that was going on in the Roman Empire at the time the disciples walked. Now here I go back to that again. That was an element the Roman Praetorian guards did not understand. If they were told to kill, cut off someone's head or fingers or hands, you know, they did all of that. Dismemberment was their A-O-1. Who and where can people go? Who can they go to and where can they go to be taught how to love? Because I'm hearing you say this is the answer, this is the element.
Okay, Doc, let me give them a reference if they want to read up on the various types of love. During the conquest of Alexander the Great, he had conquered almost the known world back during his day. The Greek culture was predominant throughout the known world. And the Greek culture came up with four kinds of love, four descriptions of love. The first is Eros, which is a sensual, a sexual, erotic love. The second was Philia, which is a love for a friend, a love for a neighbor, or a love for an associate. The next was Storge, which is the love for family. And so that's one, two, three. And the fourth one was agape love. Agape love is heavenly love, which comes from above. So I would highly recommend the listening audience look up and do research, if they will, so inclined, library, internet, whatever. Look up those four kinds of love and study the elements of those four kinds of love and practice the elements and the principles and the values in those four kinds of love, and they can teach themselves. They can become self-taught how to love. I've studied it. I apply it. I apply all four of them, and it has merited me great results and great rewards and self-satisfaction. So I highly recommend that they consider the four kinds of love under the Greek language and the Greek culture and the Greek society.
That is very good teaching. But again, where can they go rather than go to the life them themselves? I think the masses need to be taught, not go to try to self-teach them. I might be wrong, but to tell people to do that, that's excellent. I think you're on the right track. But in Marseille, the people need to be taught how to love, whom to love,
when to love and why they should love themselves and the other person or those that are in their immediate family. I still think there's got to be someone, and I think we're taking this back to either university or the church world. They just have dropped the ball, that religious world. They have not taught them that. They talk to them about this, that, and the other. But they have not actually taught them how to love, because the church world, I know, is very chaotic, very, very chaotic. You can't always sit in them. They are not teaching that. So you're saying, in essence, that a person should be living a life of love, and if that's the case, they should be taught actually how to love. They can go to the book. Philip said, well, how can I learn anything except I be taught? That's what he was telling the guy in the church and in scripture. If we're going to kind of like intermingle that. But I think I'm hearing you say that the kind of life that should be lived is the life of love. Definitely so. Definitely so. But I don't think a person can wake up and say, well, I'm going to get on here and I'm going to study Eros. I'm going to study all the four elements of love, philia, family, or so forth and so on. We all, those that have been taught scripture know that. I don't think they're going to get up and read that and then open their door up and say, okay, I'm in love. I'm ready to love. I still think there needs to be some kind of organization, and it should be the faith-based, that are teaching people inside there to love one another. They are not doing that. I don't think they are, because if they were, the world wouldn't be in the shape that it is in. Now, when we talk about love, there's a high suicide rate in every state, and it's burgeoning. This week it says it's out of control. People are hiring people to help them commit suicide. That's how bad it is. That's not showing me that a country such as America is in love with itself or can portray love if the suicide rate is high. And I think we want to take that up on our next show, because if we're talking to people about the kind of life they should be living and then the next day they're committing suicide, even we ourselves have missed the mark. So I think I want to put our finger on that for part four, suicide, the do's and the don'ts. And I'm writing that down too as well. Colonel Harrison, you've been very helpful to us this morning. Excuse my voice, you know, I've been running around, you know, at night every time I'm at night or standing out without a head covering. I tend to have my voice, you know, kind of sound raspy. So, you know, hey, all you listeners, you forgive me too. So, Colonel, in closing, you can be reached at where? We have 3 minutes.
I can be reached via email, whrri1943@aol.com. Via Twitter, I can be reached at @whrr_raptor, R-A-P-T-O-R. I can be reached on Facebook, William Harrison in Temple Hills, Maryland. So thanks a lot again for me allowing me to be on the show, be a part of it, Doc, and I hope it helps your listening audience.
It sure does, and I want all of you out there in listening line to know that Dr. Harrison will be visiting in the month of July. We're having a third or fourth annual. I'm not sure, so I don't want to say that that's accurate, but the International Platform for Peace Dinner, Awards, and Gala will be presented in some form, way, or fashion in the month of July. So keep hanging on to every word from Colonel Harrison and, of course, his great wisdom, and you'll be able to meet him and greet him in person and, of course, hear more about him. We're going to have the next show, same time, same place, your living room, your bed, wherever, but we want to think of what kind of life should all be living, because as soon as we hang this phone up, as soon as you come up here, we're going to hear something that's just absolutely mind-boggling, crazy, and something that's going to shake us to our very core. So we must be doing something. We must be saying something, and we must be living a life that means something to those in our world. Thank you again for visiting with the Dr. Cupertino show host, myself, Marcia, and, of course, the illustrious Dr. Harrison. See you next week on the Dr. Cupertino show. Have a great day.